10-week-old kittens.
Somebody left them at the fire station this morning.
Look at this face.
Sound the alarm.
Operation Kitten Rescue.
Are you implying that there's more to this pet adoption than pet adoption?
Brandon Routh, Kimberly Sustad, and Gregory Harrison return for a perfect holiday romance.
See you later.
Today, a meetup. Join up. Live.
I'll see you there.
Rendezvous.
The Nine Kittens of Christmas on Hallmark.
Fine, I did it. I couldn't resist. I didn't want to. Didn't think I would. Really thought, you know, I think I'll pass on this one. But deep down, we all knew we'd come to this day where I would not be able to resist another, not just a Hallmark movie that involved kittens, but a sequel to a Hallmark movie I ever already did a stocking stuffer on that involved kittens. It didn't feel right not to do it. If you're wondering why I was reluctant to do it, some of you know, it's been a rough year for cats in the Intravia household. I lost two cats this year, my two prides and joys, Mookie and Joplin, both, as they say, past the rainbow bridge, whatever terminology you want to use. It was not a great time. But kittens are cute, and kittens make me feel better. So, you know what? Talking about Hallmark movies and pulling out every cavity I can from them sometimes does too. So we're here today to discuss The Nine Kittens of Christmas. Or as IMDb calls it, I have to get this right. Nine Kittens of Christmas is how it was being sold. That's the title, I think, that shows up in red and green font when the movie starts. IMDb is listing it as Nine Lives of Holidays, which doesn't roll off the tongue nearly as well. Now, this is, of course, a sequel to 2014's The Nine Lives of Christmas, but I feel like we're entering dangerous The Dog Who Saved the Holidays territory. For those of you who don't know, there is a series of movies that use the words The Dog Who Saved blank. Sometimes, I think the first movie was The Holidays. The second one was Christmas. Then there was Christmas Vacation. These are three different movies. Dean Cain is involved in all three of them in one way or another. And it's the same story in every one, but yet they're different. Like, they are actually different movies, but I think legally, based on the fact that everything's the same, it's very confusing, and I thought we were going that route. Like, if we do a third film of this, and I have a feeling we will, it'll probably be like Nine Existences of Vacation Days or something to that effect. A lot of stuff at the top. So again, the sequel. I did cover this one a couple years ago. I don't remember when. I'll see if I can find it and tell you how to find that episode if you're so curious. Do you need to see the first film to get this film? Yes and no. Look, it's a Hallmark movie, so it doesn't require that much studying or brain power. At the same time, this is very much based on a relationship that was established by these two characters some years ago. So I don't know. I guess you want to refresh yourself, although you don't need to rewatch it, but if you've never seen it, you probably should watch it before watching this one. Directed by David Winning, who has done a lot of these movies. Oddly enough, he did not do the first one of these movies, but he's here. One of the things he did that we did cover at some point was The Tree That Saved Christmas, starring Lisa Chabert. The movie is written by Aaron Dobson, who has written quite a lot of these types of movies, including The Sweetest Christmas, another Hallmark movie starring Lisa Chabert that I covered here once upon a time. This movie does not star Lisa Chabert. This reunites our stars from the first film, which were Kimberly Sustand, and of course the big name, I guess. I don't. Is he a big name? I don't really know. I know Christine's a big fan of him. But Brandon Routh, Superman himself, returns for the... Superman returns! See what I did there? Didn't even mean to do it. And yet that Superman joke, if I do call it myself, probably funnier than any of the Superman references this movie tries to make. Maybe because they don't actually say Superman, they keep saying superhero, because they must be very concerned about whether they can say Superman. And I think you... Yeah, like, you can say the name of a character, right? I don't know. The Hallmark lawyers just locked it down and said, no, don't even go there. Don't even, we don't, the budget for this movie went to feeding kittens for the week and a half that we filmed, so we're not going to even worry about legal fees in case we get sued. So, that's that. Let's talk about the plot of The Nine Kittens of Christmas. The plot follows, again, our two lovebirds from the first film. We have Merrily, Kimberly Sustand. Merrily is now a vet. In the first film, I think she was like a veterinary assistant. 5 years later, which is what this movie takes place, it's being, I think the other one was 2014, so it's technically 7 years later if I did my math correctly, but whatever, they're calling it 5 years, we'll trust them. The way Dexter has been 8 years, but they're calling it 10 years, whatever. Movie math, it's different than what us lowly civilians can do. But 5 years, I don't think you graduate vet school in 5 years. I also don't think you graduate vet school and are so successful that you can open up a completely new veterinary practice in 5 years. But again, what do I know? So she has moved to Florida, where she is running a veterinary practice with her partner in professionalism and love. He was also a vet, and he's black, which is exciting, because it's not a common thing for us to see that much interracial romance in Hallmark. Don't worry, he's not her intended, so if that was a problem for you, it's okay, they don't end up together. Racist. They are running the successful business. She comes home for the holidays, because obviously holidays, so she's gonna go visit her sister back in Oregon, where our last film took place. And you know who else is in Oregon? Obviously, Zachary. Zachary is Brandon Routh, he is a fireman. He is still hanging out with Ambrose, the cat that he adopted in the first film. He is still working, and I don't know if you can hear that, but Angelique, my cat, is chiming in. I think she has a crush on Ambrose, or Brandon Routh, I'm not sure which one. But he's still there, living his life, being handsome and fireman-like. We find out over the course of the early scenes that they broke up. They dated for about a year. I think it was a year. And he just wasn't ready to take it to the next level. He thought everything was great. Didn't want to get married. I guess didn't want to make babies the way Hallmark intends people to do. So Merrily said, you know what? I want more. I'm out of here. I'm going to become a vet. I'm going to move very far away. And that's what she did. As you might expect, this movie doesn't allow things to stay that way. She comes back. And what do you know? I really hope you can hear Anjali, because she is just firing off about this movie. Zachary finds a box of kittens that have been left outside the firehouse. It is, of course, 9 kittens, and they are adorable because they're kittens. And naturally, he springs to action and says, okay, what do I do? And right as he kind of is trying to figure this out, who should walk by but Merrily, who's like, dude, I'm a vet. Let me help you with this. What do you know? The vet, who was right down the street, has closed his doors, so there's a vet opening. Will that come into play later? I don't know. Watch the movie. So they decide, okay, we have to find homes for these 9 kittens, and hey, I don't know, like, why don't we do it together? Yeah, we worked together before. We'll just do that. That's great. And very quickly, they rekindle their romance. Don't worry, it's like the next scene after the kittens that Merrily breaks up with her boyfriend Marcus because she decides he's too much of a workaholic, more so than she is, and so that frees her up. There is a moment because, like, the Zachary and Merrily get together really early for a Hallmark movie, but don't worry, there is the classic mix-up where he sees her talking to him and thinks that means they're back together because, you know, as we know in movies, people also interpret everything they see without hearing things as this person actually loves that other person. It's just, again, a rule of cinema. But don't worry, they figure it out. They fall in love again. It ends with him. It's actually, I don't know, I'm going to disappoint you all by being a little soft, but I'm going to say it's kind of cute. It's kind of sweet. He says, I found a home for the last 2 kittens because they've gotten homes for all the other 7. He's like, yeah, I'm going to drive you there. It's a couple. They're really good cat parents, and it's gonna be great. And of course, he drives her to his house, where he's like, "Hey, here's my house. Here's a ring. Marry me. Let's end the curse of 2 attractive people not being together." Because the Hallmark audiences cannot take that. Wait till you get to the reviews for this movie. People were not happy that there was unhappiness and there's a relationship. Anywho, that's the story. It goes pretty much the way you expect, but I'm going to say right off the bat, it's kind of neat that we have a Hallmark movie that does go a different path. We've had sequels to these movies before, certainly, but this is, I think, the first sequel that starts with, hey, that perfect romance that you watch from the beginning in the last movie, didn't end perfectly, which is cool. I'm all about having more conflict in relationships. And in this case, it's fine because, yes, it's going to be resolved. We know these two attractive people are meant to be together. But honestly, I'm going to say right off the bat, this was more interesting than I expected it to be because I don't think the first film was that great. As much as it had a kitten and it had Brandon Routh, it was still as typical a Hallmark movie as you can get. And this one right away does do some different things, so that's cool. Before we dive into the tropes, one other thing I want to say that I think is very cute trivia. All of the kittens in this movie, all seven of them, were adopted out to cast and crew. Like, everybody that worked on the film was like, I'll take that one. And so all seven kittens found homes, which is just, you know, again, a good thing. So let's go through it. Our lead in need of a lesson. We really have two leads. Merrily figures out her lesson pretty quickly. Again, there's something neat about, and I'm not going to call her an older character. She's, like, still younger than me, but a more mature character. She feels like a grown-up. She has gone to school. She owns a business now. And for her, she's kind of figuring out, like, oh, I have been work, and I was doing that in part to distract myself from being unhappy, and maybe I need to open myself up a little bit. But it's not in that annoying Hallmark way of, you know, like we said on the first solo stocking stuffer, of a surgeon saying, I'm too busy. Like, no, this is fine. Like, she can balance things, and she figures it out, and that's cool. And then Zachary, who, again, is our bland love interest, but very much he is also the lead in need of a lesson, because he's the one that fucked up last time, and he's the one that knows what he did wrong, which was just like, yeah, I guess I wasn't ready to commit, but you know what? I've lived another 5 years, and I think I need this person back in my life. So there. Isn't that sweet? Anyway, moving on. Setting, in this case, it is a street in Oregon, I'm going to say, because, and they do say Oregon, or Oregon. So my middle school was O-R-E-G-O-N, and from where I'm from in Long Island, we pronounce that Oregon, but I know people in the state call it Oregon, so I sometimes change how I say it. It's awkward. Anywho, somewhere in Oregon, we only go back and forth between the firehouse and Merrily's sister's home, so it seems like a small town because everything happens between those two locations. Moving on to number three is our bland love interest. We already covered that, except I do want to say, in addition to being a fireman, so obviously being very, like, into manual labor, Zach also can fix cars, which is a new thing we learned about him here. So we will move right through that to number four, our montage. Okay. So we get a decorating the tree. That's fine. More importantly, it's real. Okay. This is, like, my favorite thing in the world. This might be the real world. Kittens are cute, but this is actually even better. So product placement is a bonus round, and it rarely comes up. It used to come up in the beginning. It hasn't in a while. I'm watching this movie, and at a certain point, Merrily is, like, trying to cheer herself up. So she says to her sister, I'm going to bake. And it's like a 8-second her turning an oven on, pulling out a cake, putting it down to her sister and saying, a bundt cake, a sour cream, mom's sour cream bundt cake. And then music plays while they, like, don't eat it, of course, while they, like, poke at it and smile at each other and all of that. And the camera sort of, like, very lovingly pans over this cake. And it's just, like, it's very, like, I wrote in my note, like, it's a weird emphasis to put on something. Like, it feels awkward. And when I watch these, I record them off of cable, and then I'm fast-forwarding through the commercials. But I happened to stop on the commercial a little early, and right after this scene was a commercial for Daisy Sour Cream with this movie has been brought to you by Daisy Sour Cream. And it was like, duh. Like, and I gotta say, and I don't know if they had advertised sour cream earlier in the movie during the commercial breaks, but it was just the greatest realization of me thinking, this is a weird montage. Like, there is something off about how the timing's really short, but yet there's, like, this very grandeur to all of this. And then immediately, oh, right, sour cream. And so it just made me happy. I use sour cream in a lot of things, but I'm not a big, like, sour cream and baking person, so didn't make me want to bake a bundt cake. But I will say it was so gloriously awkward that yet another reason to watch this movie. So moving on, dead parents slash wife. Her parents are still dead. They were dead in the first movie. They're still dead here. And we get a lot of stuff about dead mom. Because dead mom did advent calendars. There's like a whole advent calendar thing going on. And also, let's throw out there, we have a dead cat. Dead cat is before, you know, this isn't on-screen death, don't worry. But if you remember in the last movie, Merrilee had a cat named Queenie, who was very pretty and friendly and all that. And in this movie, she has a new cat named Duchess, and you find out, like, yeah, Queenie was 18, which is a good age for a cat to reach. Mine were 17 and 15, but anyway. But yeah, so, you know, if you were in a sensitive place and didn't want to deal with dead fucking cats like I haven't all year, yeah, then just one more thing to be aware of. Number six, her sassy sidekick. So again, we get cats. Ambrose is still sassy as fuck. I love this cat. He's a little orange cat. We're big orange cat, actually. He's friendly. He is, I think, the Hallmark CEO's actual adopted cat. And he puts in a good performance. We have Duchess, who's pretty and doesn't do much, but she's pretty. And we have, you know, nine kittens, including a little tuxedo cat, looks a little like Mookie, a tortoiseshell, a Bengalish looking cat, you know, from one litter, we'll go with it. And then we do have, as a sassy sidekick goes, Merrilee's sister, who is, it's weird, because the sister is very pretty, and she's blonde, and like, in some ways, more the traditional, like, in most Hallmark movies, the sister would be the lead, and Kimberly Sustin would be the sassy sidekick. That's not the case here, and it's fine. So, moving on to number seven, our evil woman or boss character. We don't have any evil women. The closest thing we get to a villain is Miles. I might have been calling him Marcus, whatever, a name with an M. Mark Hiles, we'll call him that. He's a workaholic. So, like, he's kind of the villain, and he doesn't want to come up for Christmas because something came up, and he really can't leave the office, but he'll come if she really wants him to. And it's, you know, it's handled a little bit a certain way, but I will say, I like when they finally officially break up in person. Merrilee says to him, like, look, you're the only guy I found who is more ambitious than me, and I thought I wanted that, but I don't want that. And she says to him, and this is a very mature thing, you should not have to change who you are for me, because I fell in love with you because you were this way. I decided to go a different way, and I have been following a different path. You don't have to do that. I don't expect you to do that. I don't want you to do that, because I know that's not really what you want to do. So it's mature, dare I say. And of course, he doesn't understand that Christmas is important, so that's how you know he's, you know, not meant to be with her. Number eight, slapstick. Of course, we get a lot of it, because there's kittens. So first, they bump into each other. That's how they, like, meet cute again. There's then kitten antics. There's kittens in trees, which, again, is adorable. I'm not gonna lie. Angelique agreed or disagreed. I'm not sure. Like, there's even a moment where, like, Zach doesn't want to answer the phone because Merrilee is calling and trying to explain something to him, but Zach's being, like, the dude that thinks he understands, and Ambrose basically knocks the phone over and answers it for him. So, again, kitty antics, who can complain? Number nine, our sage old person. Of course, we get one. It is the fire chief again, who's retiring, so, like, he really knows life, and he's happily married to his wife, which is cute, and they kind of lend a certain nice grace to the movie, I think, in some ways. So he tells them all about, like, no, the real secret to being happy is admitting your mistakes. So, theme of the movie right there. And Santa Claus, once again, no real Santa Claus. We get Santa suits, but not even a cat in a Santa hat. Although the cats are at one point named after reindeer. So there is Rudolph and Donner and all of that. COVID watch, I didn't catch anything that made me think one way or another. There's a few, not crowd scenes, but scenes with a lot of characters in one space, so I don't know exactly. Hopefully everybody's vaccinated and tested. So now, okay, and now we move on to the bonus round. Starting with, of course, public domain holiday songs. So many. Jolly Old St. Nicholas, that is the Bundt Cake song, by the way. We get Jingle Bells, we get Ding Dong Merrily on High, we get We Wish You Merry Christmas, we get Jolly Old St. Nicholas. So yes, everything. We already mentioned our Daisy Sour Cream product placement. Cloying Child, we do have one. Her name is Sierra, although for half the movie I thought it was Sarah, so it's one of those, like, diphthong things where when two vowels are next to each other, but they are a different syllable. And apparently I'm not the only one that doesn't pronounce that correctly, so there. She's fine. Like, she's a little annoying at first, but she's really good with the kittens. And she's very excited when she finds out she gets to keep them. And honestly, it's kind of cute. It's fine. We do not get ice skating or any real winter activity, come to think of it, which will probably make sense when we get to the warm weather watch. So continuing on, a character with a Christmas name. Well, again, all the kittens are named after reindeer, so that's got to count. Christmas tree lighting / finding the perfect tree. Oh boy, do we get this. We get not just, like, looking for the perfect tree. We get sort of a whole, you know, kind of coordinated thing where Merrily is looking for a tree with her family, and Zachary is looking for a tree with his fire chief boss mentor, old sage old person. And of course they find the same tree, because, you know, what do you know, they're meant to be. And while this is happening, Merrily is actually doing the tree, like, talking about finding the perfect tree as an analogy for finding, you know, I think it's like an analogy for relationships. So really on the nose, and just, again, proving my point that this is a very important part of these movies. And then empty cup, coffee cup acting. So what's interesting here, we get one scene of fake coffee drinking, and I'm going to give some credit to Brandon Routh and the actor who plays the fire chief, whose name I forget. They clearly try. Like, they're in a coffee shop, they are handed coffee cups. They do the first thing they do, which I mean, look, I know coffee from a coffee shop is usually never as hot as like McDonald's coffee or coffee from your own coffee machine, but still, like, you're handed a cup of coffee, do you just take a slug of it? No, usually you'd blow on it first. They both take slugs of it, but they both do seem to try to act as if it has weight. I don't think they do a good job, but there's an attempt, which I appreciate. More importantly, in this case, we have fake eating, obviously, with the sour cream, brought to you by Daisy's sour cream cake. We have, fake empty gift present holding. Yeah, we'll go with that. You have characters in the beginning that are, like, wrapping presents and, like, holding a big pile of them, and this is kind of the meet cute in the beginning of how he bangs into Merrily and everything. But it's one of those things where they're very large, bulky boxes, which would be difficult to navigate with. And yet, of course, they pick them up as if they are empty. I will say, Brandon Routh is supposed to be a big superhero. Remember, don't say Superman. Dude, so I can't decide if that was a choice of, like, I am so strong that this is easy for me to do. I don't think I should give the movie that much credit, but, you know, we'll be nice. It's Christmas. One other bonus that we haven't been mentioning, in part because it's just so, it's always there that I don't always feel like it, is the combination of red and green in typically clothing, where if the man is in red, the woman is in green. If the man has a red scarf, the woman might have a green coat, and so on and so on. And of course, that's everywhere. It's in every movie. It's on every poster, especially. In this case, it is also in the opening credits, where they use both colors and also multiple fonts, which drives me crazy, but anyway. And lastly, we have the warm weather watch. And oh boy, do we get a warm weather watch. Again, I have never been in Oregon in December. Something tells me it is not a warm place. Something tells me that you would not sit outside in a knee-length skirt without stockings or tights drinking coffee on a bench. I don't know. But in this case, they do. We get a lot of one character wearing a winter coat and the other character wearing just like a puff coat. There is a bit made about how Merrily, who's moved to Florida, so now, like, oh, she doesn't have any winter clothes. Again, not that it matters in this movie. But there's this great scene where Zachary is teasing Merrily for her gloves, right? They're outside. It is burr cold. And she has what I wear at work sometimes indoors, fingerless gloves, where you have, you know, it's the glove goes on your hand and it covers up to your, what, knuckle? Not knuckles. What do you call that part of your finger that bends? Whatever that part is. But then your little fingertips are exposed, so you can do things like button shoes and tie buttons, all that stuff. And he's teasing her about those. He's like, oh, your Florida gloves, like, those don't do well in Oregon. Which would be a joke, except you know what he's wearing on his hands? Nothing.
No gloves. And yet he's mocking her for wearing gloves that don't meet standards when... But he's not. You get my point? This is, I think, the thing that is the trope that's getting most abused this Christmas. But anyway, that is everything there. I do want to pull your attention now. People. This movie, as you would expect, has a 7.3 rating on IMDb. But the reviews are fascinating. There is a large quotient of Hallmark dedicated viewers who are also IMDb account users who leave reviews, and they have really strong opinions about this. There's one, allow me to read, this is from Reader, and this was posted on November 26, which I think was like the day this movie dropped. The title of the review, A Waste. Ruined the great ending of the first movie. There was no reason for this movie to be made. If they had continued with the story, with the main characters still together, it might have had some merit. Okay, you think that's bad. Take this one, which was a 2 out of 10 from G. FrismD, also left on November 26th. And this review, I'm going to read some excerpts from it. 7 years ago, Hallmark produced a cute movie involving two cats. Now, Hallmark transports us to 5 years later, when we find their, quote-unquote, eternal love has lasted no longer than the holiday cheer. Christmas movies are magic in that they make us believe there are good people with all the qualities we admire and inspire us. In this instance, Hallmark expects us to be idiots, supposed to be moved and inspired by two characters that have proved to be flaky, shallow, and clueless at best. Guys, understand, like, it's just characters that broke up. Like many people that date in their 20s and 30s, and it doesn't last, and they break up. But according to this person, that is the worst thing Hallmark could have done to us, because people that break up are apparently idiots, flaky, and shallow. I'm going to finish up this review. Honestly, why should anyone give a hoot about their new fling and how long it's going to last? But do not worry, we are likely to find out soon whenever Hallmark is short of ideas for a new show. With a masterful stroke, Hallmark has managed to ruin the appeal of their former creations to provide a nonsensical, vapid new chapter. Such is the glory of most remakes. On the plus side, the 9 kittens are very cute. Wish they had been given a larger role and spared us this uninspired love story. Holy shit, people. Be careful what you do with the hearts of Hallmark fans. They are scathing. This person, by the way, has over 25 reviews of other Hallmark and Lifetime Christmas movies. So it puts a lot of things in perspective, right? Because here I am thinking, you know, I get to the final part of these reviews, which is always, do I recommend it? And this is like a weird one where I'm kind of like, maybe to a very specific portion of viewers of material like this, because I think it was a little bit better put together than most of these. I think it had a little more, meat to it, in that you had more fully developed human beings who learn things and seem fairly reasonable. And that's how I feel. But again, you go and you look at these reviews, and it sometimes is, if you've ever been in one of those conversations where you start talking about something that you are so certain of, and you realize the person you're talking to is so certain of the other way of thinking of that, and it's shocking because, like, you never realize people were like that, that's kind of in some ways what Hallmark does in that way. It really separates and shows you where you stand, I guess, in some things. So I think we can all agree that kittens are cute. I think we can all agree that we wish there were more kittens in this movie, that we would have been happier with it really being about just 9 the kittens. But honestly, if you're going to build a movie around kittens, this is maybe one of the better ones that you could build. So that's where I stand on this. I'm very frightened by what the more devout traditionalists might have to say about such an opinion. But I'm going to throw it out there because I live dangerously. So with that being said, go adopt a kitten and Merry Christmas.
While the city sleeps, every night he creeps, just surveying his domain. He roams around like he owns the town. He's the king, he makes that plain. He knows every trick, doesn't miss a lick when it comes to keeping fat. Some city slicker, no one is quicker than a bad darn cat. Every nook and cranny and garbage can he inspects so thoroughly.